Hello, legacy members. So this is the legacy call. Oh, you can tell I was scratching my head. My hair's red. I looked up, I was like, oh. This means that if you've been a member of No BS for more than 1 year, you can get coached simply by just raising your hand. I'm going to bring up Coach Lizzie first, get her on stage. She will be in the Q&A. She will also be in the chat talking to everybody. And then we're going to start with Jania. Go ahead and start bringing you up. But yeah, you get to get coached. Anybody can attend to these calls. Anybody can listen to these calls. These are calls for everyone. We just only coach the legacy members on this call. So raise your hand if you want to be one of them. Let's go. What do you want coaching on?
Hi, I'm hoping that you can give me some perspective on post skin removal surgery expectations.
Okay.
So you recently, in one of the calls, were talking about needing to go up a pant size after your surgery, and we had similar surgeries. I didn't have my breast done, and
When do you have done? Do you mind telling me?
No, I don't mind. So it was October, middle of October, and I had a belt lipectomy. So like the 360,
All the way around.
the all the way around, pull your
I always
pant
like to
clothes
call
up.
it the pulling up your britches surgery.
My sister and I talk about it being as pulling up the pantyhose.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then I had a thigh lift, but just the like the crescent moon groin incisions as opposed to down towards the knee.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. I wish they'd had that back in the day when I did it. I have the full Monty.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful. And then like under the buttocks and everything, and I went through what I've heard people call the swell hell, and
Oh,
like
yeah.
it, you know, all of that. And I'm 3.5 months out. During that time, my husband had surgery, my son had surgery, we had complications. There was a bunch of stuff that I was taking pain meds, and I was like, I know I was doing more grab assing, and my habits weren't as good during this period of like intense recovery and caregiving at the same time. And now I'm getting back on my habits insofar as I'm like probably 90% for water,
Okay, let
100%
me say
for
this about surgery. You cannot be 90%. If you don't do
for
anything,
water.
yeah, don't be 90%, be 100%. Like, you need
Yeah,
to do
I'm just
somewhat
telling
of
you
a
what I've
full
done.
fucking job.
Yeah, I'm just confessing the facts, like
I
the
get that,
facts.
but if you wanted to ask me like advice or like you
Yeah.
started it off with that, my
Yeah.
first thing would be if there's one basic you've got to nail, it's got to be your water. And
Okay.
well, water and sleep, but your water mainly because it's good for your scars. It's good for your healing. Your body's doing an immense, like, it takes a year for your body to really stop the internal. Like, you won't look like you're still healing, but internally, your body's still doing an immense amount of work. It needs water to do it if you want good results. If you want 90% results, drink 90% of your water. You want 100%, get that money's worth, get that water down.
Okay. That's super helpful. That's partially my question, and I'm like, I'm trying to just wrap my head around what the implications are in the second 6, 9, 12
You're
or
gonna
second
still
three.
swell. Like, you're gonna have you're not done with swell. Swell hell lasts for over 6 months. It will probably be like like it was for me. I looked one way in the morning and I looked a completely different way in the evening. And I mean, I just swelled a lot. That's one reason why you want to do the more water you push, the easier swelling is. It actually allows your body to, like stop trying to retain water all the time to heal and stuff. It just helps with everything. Plus, especially the surgery you had, you have cut into a lot of your lymphatic system. So a lot of your lymph nodes are blocked and not clear yet. So it's really important to keep pushing that water because that's what's going to help those lymph nodes like get back online. So like I had several in my leg. In fact, my right leg is still real wavy on one side because I had like lymph nodes that They swelled up. They would collect. I'd have to go get them drained every 2 weeks
Oh, wow.
until they finally got to where they could process. They would just like collect all the garbage, but they couldn't push through the garbage. So I had to go have it drained. And so I still have like lumpiness on my leg, years ago from that. But that just happens to some people. It doesn't happen to everybody. But you're gonna swell more. I mean, that's
Okay.
pretty, just be prepared for that.
Okay. And so then, as I'm moving back into a period of time where I can get back to my four basics, back to my habits, and it's dramatically different now, positively different now than it was right after the surgery. I feel like the scale and my measurements are not great data points.
I would not use them. I would use your habits. That's
Okay.
your indicator of success. Like you're going to know if you're doing, your body is going to swell and like you're going to do really great on your basics for 2 weeks and you're going to be up 5 pounds and it feels like for no reason.
Yeah, okay.
And that's
That's
okay.
very helpful to know.
But if you're up 5 pounds and for 2 weeks you were grab assing and you did a fuck it eat and you did this, then we don't call it swell hell. We say, oh, my habits are out of line. I never really need to focus on these habits. So it's find a way, but it's just like anyone. It really is no different between someone who's had surgery and someone who's not. When we weigh in, we weigh and then we assess our data on the backside to explain what's happening. So sometimes if I weigh in and I'm up, but I look at my data for the last 2 weeks. There's no grab assing. There's no extra eating. Nothing's going on. Then I'm going to chalk up that this must be hormonal for you. This must be part of the swelling process. This must be like if you start exercising again, like, if you've been off your exercise for 12 weeks, like I couldn't lift for 12 weeks before I could start back. And, I had lost some muscle. So the first month or two, when I got back into lifting, I was putting back, I was just replacing some of the muscle I had lost. So that, that was gonna like I was like, I'm just prepared for that. And of course, my body swelled more because it wasn't used to that challenge. So then it was like, oh, you're just gonna swell a lot. But track your data. That's gonna explain it. So we always look at our data. So it's like if our habits are in line for a week or two, but the scale's not moving with us. We typically want to chalk that up to this is biological, something biological. Could be my hormones, could be my surgeries, whatever. Now, if the third week comes and you still haven't moved at all and your data is on point, just make sure that you're not snowing yourself at all. Like, are you actually stopping at hunger or eating when you're hungry? Are you actually stopping at enough? Are like for you, because you've had surgery, when I look at my plan, does this look like someone who wants to heal their body? Or does this look like somebody who is planning comfort food because they think they can't do their basics while they're healing? So
Yeah,
like
I
things
think
like that.
there was a period where that was going on for sure, and but I feel like that has just naturally
Past.
fall it it's past. Yeah, it's past.
Okay.
So I
So
feel
we don't
like
have to
I
worry about that.
yeah, no,
Yeah.
I don't have to
You
worry about that
track
now.
your habits. Get really good at tracking your habits.
Okay.
That's going to be the best thing that's going to indicate. Like, and this is the nice, this is what I always did when I had surgeries, is I just always reminded myself, like, I want to form such amazing habits during my surgical recovery that when recovery's over, it is really easy for me to just be like, you know what? I'm already living the life. I'm already doing it. I'm not going to treat one different than the other. So, like, for example, I didn't want to think I couldn't exercise for 12 weeks when I was laid up. What I told myself is, okay, today exercise looks like this. I
Right,
need,
I've heard you
my doctor
before.
said I need to walk my loop around the island, or today exercise is I'm going to journal. I'm going to exercise my mind. Like that counts. So I was always checking these boxes. That way, my brain, when it was time to actually go to the gym, wasn't thinking like we're starting all over. My brain was thinking we have been taking care of ourselves the whole time. This is the next step in taking care of ourselves.
Okay. That seems really lovely, like in line with kind of how things have gone. And I wouldn't necessarily want to continue with some of the ways I was eating and things when I was in my early recovery, and so was my husband and my son and all the rest of it. But it felt, but my intentions were always like I wasn't fucking eating, basically. Like I mean, it may not have been like the right eating for the rest of my life, but it was fine for the time, and I'm fine with it. And I was moving and doing all those things. I think it's just really helpful to hear from somebody who has had the surgery, connected with lots of other women who have had the surgeries with the no BS mindset, because it's hard sometimes when I'm like reading things online or in other forums. I'm like, okay, but I don't necessarily know like what kind of thinking and values you're coming from when you're giving this advice. So it makes me nervous that I'm like
I'd
either
stay
being.
out of them. I don't think you're going to find anything you need in those forums. Trust me, I used
Okay.
to surf them myself too. And you would find conflicting information. You'd find
Yeah.
people neuter. You would find like people being like, I've had surgery and I still participate in disordered eating, disordered exercising,
Right.
and restriction. Like, I will just say those forums where people have lost weight are a breeding ground of people who probably did not lose weight in a great way and don't have the mind management no BS women have. We have plenty of women in no BS who have had these types
Absolutely.
of
Yeah.
surgeries. Like, I would talk to them like
Okay.
more than I would talk to then, and then I would read that other stuff. And you can
Okay.
always put things and ask coaches, and if they don't know how to answer it about y'all's surgeries, I do. They'll give it to me and I'll answer it.
Okay. Super helpful. Thank you. So I'm going to okay, so when I was I did the 12-week
New Year's.
New Year's thing, and I was and the I can't even remember which video I was watching, to be honest, Corinne, but you were like, one thing a week as I get back on top of my habits. So I'm like really on top of planning, really on top of stopping at enough. My water is almost always on lock. My sleep is on lock, blah, blah, blah. I'm moving towards my back towards my basics, feels really good, totally fine. And the thing that I haven't necessarily been prioritizing is my tracking. So what I hear you saying is stay off the scale, don't do measurements, replace that with tracking, and then that would be like the next thing to add back in.
It is just not going to be accurate for 6 to 12
Okay.
months. I mean,
Okay.
it just isn't.
Super
Like,
helpful.
I remember like 8 months in looking at my husband saying, when is my legs going to quit swelling? Like, some days that I will say after about the 6 month mark, like you don't swell as much, but then you'll just have a day where you're like, what the fuck?
Your
Like
pants fit.
everything is just like, damn, like it just
Yeah.
does. And it could be for a variety of reasons, but you just never know when your body, like it's a traumatic, like especially the surgery we've had, it
Yeah,
is a
it's big.
traumatic surgery. Like your body is like, whoa, what
What
did
the
you just
fuck?
do?
Yeah.
Yes, like it's huge. I mean, you're basically sawed in half, cinched
Yeah.
up, and then sewn back together. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's super helpful. So I will stop weighing, stop measuring, replace that with tracking. It doesn't even feel like adding a new thing. It's just exchanging one thing for another as far as my data collection. And yeah, I'll keep going. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Karen Brent. I will be so glad when I'm over this cold, y'all. Karen is not a good sick person. Just not. I'm kind of over it. I'm just like got the residuals. I'm like, ugh. So we'll see. All right, Karen, what are we coaching on?
I'm hoping you can give me a little direction. I have been going through a lot of thought work and doing okay with some things. My mama drama. And now I've come to a position of knowing that my work kind of parallels how my mom treats me.
Okay.
And so I've kind of work through that and realize that I have to kind of mourn that relationship too. But what hit me in the conversation I was having with my best friend this morning is, how do you accept? I don't even know how to phrase this, and I've been thinking for hours. I know people think highly of me, and I know people say nice things about me. How do I make myself believe it?
It takes time. If you've spent your entire life not believing any of that, then every single time someone says something to you about it, like I used to describe it as, because I have a lot of struggle with this as someone who is, you know, adored in public at times.
Yeah.
Literally adored.
Does your brain go, if you only knew me?
My brain doesn't say that. I have a more physical reaction. I used to call it the wall would like go boom, like this. So like when people, like when y'all come up to me and say, you've changed my life, you don't know, like all these things, my identity still is not always 100% locked in. It's like, you're a life changer. You are, you know, like you're all the things and stuff. I know me as a flawed human. But then when other people come up, they don't see you as a flawed human. They see, like, your people are probably seeing you as Karen, the writer, the helper, the all the things. Where I, if we look at it intellectually, we probably agree with a lot of what they have to say. It's like if somebody tells me, you really helped me, on an intellectual level, I'm like, I could see that. I've written courses. Yeah. You know, like I do things.
Yeah. Emotionally. Yeah. And you're like, well, that's a fact. So I'm not going to argue with that.
Right. So, and that might be a great first step for you, is that where, when people are saying things where you feel like if they only knew me, you might just want to say, factually, it's true. Emotionally, for me, it's just not yet. So now I want to figure out, like, if you only knew me, if that's your question, the way to journal on it is, if they only knew me, they would discover these things. And you let your brain literally just kind of put all the things down in a free flow. And and leave space where sometimes it'll say great things, and sometimes it might, and it'll say probably a lot of negative, because that's where the resistance is coming in. Just to find out, so that you know when you look at it, oh, these are the things I unconsciously believe about myself. This is the reason why what they say feels so untrue, or doesn't feel like, it sounds lovely. It sounds like I should be happy about this, but I'm nervous, or I feel exposed, or like I worry, like it's going to go away, you know?
There's some worry of it going away, but. And I spent a good time with my best friend this morning. I'm looking at our texts because I said, do I believe people? Yes, at least I think I do. Otherwise, there's, you know, a hell of a group conspiracy going on of people who are like,
it's the subtle. Like, this is why I want you just to hold space for, nothing's going wrong here. Like, there's parts of me that are changing, and there's parts of me that believe this and stuff, but I've been at this for a long time of not believing in myself. Like I've grown up in environments where, you know, like I was like, I know how your mom talked to you and all this other stuff. Like those old belief systems, they don't go away just because you journal some and you start being another person. They live within us, and a lot of them never really go away. They just don't take up all the oxygen anymore. They pop up, but they don't run the day anymore. They sometimes make us feel insecure and stuff. And then we like catch ourselves like, oh, this is just me and my old shit. Like whatever that is. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, I have a lot of imposter syndrome, but it doesn't stop me from being like, I believe I'm two people. I know what a lot of y'all say is true about me. I can't argue that. Too many people say it. So if nothing else, it has to be true. Otherwise, I must be the greatest con artist of all time.
Yes.
And honestly, yes,
like I'm such a wonderful actress.
Yeah. And I'm not, or I would be getting Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'd be doing for a living.
Exactly. I would not be on Zoom calls if I was that good of an actress. Then, but there's also, the ego side of me. And our ego is the insecure side of us. Our ego is the part of our brain that worries what people think, that is on edge, on alert, is trying to protect us at all times. And it worries about our self-concept. Our ego is terrified of our self. Like, it's just, I don't know, poor little ego. I just always think of him as like a little
terrified is the word.
Yeah. So tell me why terrified lands with you.
Because, I mean, like I said, I'm looking at this again, and I said, you know, I know that the response I'm getting is from my actions. I'm not faking that. Mm-hmm. I'm who I present myself to be.
Yeah. And you can't take those actions without being the person who would take those actions. So it's not just coming from your actions. It's coming from the essence of who you are.
Yeah. So on that way I can go, okay, that is me. Mm-hmm. But oh my God, my heart's racing right now. Even saying that, it's like, I don't know. Shady Karen's been like going to town lately.
Well, yeah, she don't want to get killed. You're like literally, like Shady Karen has gone from the boss to now you are a paid assassin and you're trying to kill her. And she's like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not safe anywhere. Then like she's like.
And Grace were so quiet for a few months. It was like, I don't need them anymore. And like Friday, we all got drunk together. Even Grace got drunk. So, I find myself making excuses for what people say. Like, one of the things I was saying is, well, how cats, they always say, you know, if they're hungry enough, a cat, you know, whatever you give them, they'll eat. So I've even relayed that to all the people in OBS. It's like, oh, well, you know, they're so starved for something positive that I'm just high enough to set a bar. It's a low one, but I'm just enough of a
kid. Why is that like, I don't understand why that thought's even a problem. That's very
nice. Because I use it to negate, like, well, I'm really not a good person. It's just, I'm enough. But not enough in a fulfilling way as much as just good enough to get by.
But isn't that a level up from where you used to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I
just want you to be really careful about trying to take some of your thoughts that are productive and trying to make them a problem.
That is a big part of it too. And that's even with going back and forth. It was like, I feel like I have a padlock on it.
On what? There's a padlock
on embracing who I might actually be.
And why is that? Why do you need to lock that away? Like what's going to happen? What happens if Karen embraces who she wants to be? Or this version.
It won't work. It won't last.
It won't last.
It might go away. It might.
So if you,
I don't know.
If you embrace this other version of Karen that is liked, admired, all the things who people find inspiring and helpful and all these other things. If you are like, you know what? I've just decided. I believe all of it. I am inspiring. There's not that many people making a daily post or making these long posts trying to, it's me and Debbie Lurie practically. I mean, I know there's more of you, Ginger, in the 55 plus group, but I mean, I'm not saying like for all of you who are doing the posts, please don't take that as a smirch. It's just Corinne is 49 and don't remember everybody's names like she used to. Andra and her drawings. Like, I want you to think about this. What is wrong with saying, like, I am in an elite club. I am inspiring. I take the time to help these women. They do admire me.
This even is you saying this makes me go into a fight or flight.
Right. This is what I'm saying, though. If we embrace that, if we just say, this is what we're doing, why do we get
then
so
I have an ego.
Huh?
Then I have an ego.
We all do. I don't know. Did
but
you get a lobotomy and the rest of us missed out on it? Everybody's got an ego. What does having an ego mean to you? Because everyone has one. I just told you about the ego. And we all have both sides of the ego.
Okay, a positive ego.
Okay, what's wrong with having a positive? Like, what is bad about having a positive ego about yourself?
Oh, dear God, I'm going to slip directly into my mom with this one.
That's okay. We want to know what you honestly
because
like.
If you have an ego, you think too much of yourself. And to actually use her words, you're too big for your britches.
Okay, so what is wrong with being, let's say you are. What is wrong with being too big for your britches? What is wrong?
Well, nobody likes you then.
But that's not true. Right now, you're being too big for your britches and tons of people like you.
Well, I guess I don't know.
Maybe your mother was wrong about what being too big for your britches means.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Well, what
like
if we
most
just decide,
likely.
What if we thought about that more than we think about how we need to suppress this? But let's just question some of the assumptions. That's why I was asking you the question. This is the questions I want you asking yourself. It's like, so what does it mean? I'm too big for my britches. Like, okay, you probably are at times, just like everybody, but it seems to be working in your favor.
I guess in my mind and the way that it was always told to me was that you turn into some kind of like snobby, snooty, I'm better than everyone, judgmental bitch from hell.
Okay. Tell me how that would happen for you. I want you to, and I really want you to go there. This is really important. So I want you to think about, I'm going to keep posting. I'm going to keep inspiring people. I'm going to keep getting accolades. I am even going to start believing. I'm going to allow myself to be like, you know what? I am the Karen they all think I am. I'm just going to go with what they say, that they actually mean it. And now I'm going to agree with them. Now what?
It makes me want to throw up.
I mean, I know that, but we already know that that's only coming from you're not supposed to be too big for your britches. But I want you to think about this. How would doing that turn you into? Because the only reason why you want to throw up is because you think, if I am good to myself, if I embrace this positive identity that's hurting no one, somehow
yeah.
I turn into a snobby bitch. How would you turn into a snobby bitch? Like, tell me the process. What happens?
I don't know. I've never been a snobby bitch.
Oh, that's good to know. Your brain could be wrong about that. You've never been one. So you would probably, like, someone who's never been a snobby bitch, what are the odds of them just waking up one day and morphed into a brand new human that thinks completely different? I mean,
it hasn't worked for other things I've wanted it to, so probably low.
Very, I know. You're desperately wanting to believe good things, and that's been pretty tough.
Yeah, so
and
I don't
very
think
purposeful.
I'm just going to,
we don't
without
just
like
like
some
suddenly
kind of
change.
Stroke or something.
Yeah.
Wake up tomorrow going, you know what? Fuck everyone, you peons.
Yeah. Like, so think about that. What would a snobby bitch be? Tell me what that would be.
It would be when somebody says what you posted resonated with me and it helped me. I would say, well, of course it did. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. And now this is what I want you to do. I want you to check in with your body.
Oh, that felt really horrible to say.
Yeah, but this is what your brain imagines will happen.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to find out, because most of the time our brain has a lot of like imagination gone wild.
You know what it is? I just realized, I think part of it is I could get to a place where those words don't mean anything.
Well, I'm going to tell you that place is coming. Why is that a problem?
I always want to feel blessed by how people think of me.
Okay. If that's what you want, then you will have to do like we do with everything else. You have to decide that's how you want to feel. And if the day comes where you're hearing it and it doesn't feel like a blessing or whatever, you have to remind yourself that it is. Because I'm just going to tell you, all brains normalize to everything. That's that hedonic conditioning. You know, I've talked about 1,000 times. If you buy that car, no matter what you say, in 3 months, you're not going to smell new car smell anymore. And you're probably going to treat it like you treated the last car. It ain't going to be your baby very long. The same thing happens with this. So like for me, my brain is normalized so much to people's stories and everything that I don't get excited about it anymore. And I want all of you to really hear me. I do not take it for granted, but it's one of those things, like, especially at an event, it's almost like self-preservation for me to go to an event and not be excited about it, because I'm probably going to have at least 100 gut-wrenching stories and thank yous and crying and wanting to hug me and all this other stuff. And if I, every single time, felt moved and stuff, I would be in a coma by the end of the weekend. It would be too much for my nervous system. So for me, the wall goes up. Some of it can be a little bit of identity. Sometimes it's grating on this part of me that's like, are you as good as you think you are? Are you, one of the things I really struggle with is being financially successful. Like, I really struggle with this. Financial success because other people are in pain. That's my work to do. When I see, you know, other people and I hear thank yous and stuff, sometimes it's tapping on a part of me that wonders, like, no, now, deep down inside, you're really a bad person. And here's what we're working on this year. This year, you're going to feel really shitty about this. And then I'll fix that. It used to be I'm not good enough. It used to be, like, for years in No BS, I didn't want anybody to say anything about my body because I was so afraid I was going to regain my weight. So every time somebody would compliment me on my body, it would trigger me to feel anxious that it was just like, and at any moment I could lose all of this. I could just regain my weight. Like, so, like, basically, for 16 years, welcome to the club, Karen. Once you're adored, every year you get a new thing to work on with yourself. But I want you to think about this. It's literally just like, we know you would never, I want you to think about this. Would you ever allow yourself to become too big for your britches? So much so that you would harm people?
No.
Brag? Like, you don't even, no. Like, you just need to tell yourself, I don't even have that in my DNA. Like, thank you, Mom. Thank you for all the years you held me down, because I could never be that person. I would like to say, like, now that I could give it to her. Like, she did a number on me so much so I could never be a bitch. Like, that could not be me. So we can wipe that out. But then the part is of, like, where you wouldn't feel grateful. You can be grateful anytime you decide you want to be. And if you notice you're no longer grateful, you just have to decide in that moment, do I need to be grateful now? Is there a reason why I'm not? Maybe there's a great reason. Maybe it overstimulates you. Or it may be like, there's not a good reason. I've just normalized to it. I never want to be normal to this. So I'm always going to work on being grateful for it.
I feel like if I could figure this out, it's one of the big parts of moving forward with everything is it would be a big chunk of loving myself.
I think we've already figured it out. I want you to imagine we just figured this out. What's left to figure out? Tell me what's left in your brain to figure out.
Accepting it. I just need to, you know, I'm fighting it like it's the worst thing in the universe to have people like you.
Yeah, it all makes sense because you've basically been taught that if people really like you, it's probably a problem. You did something wrong, actually. You were too big for britches, whatever that is.
Yeah, or,
you know. The only reason why it's hard to accept. And when we know that that's why, then each time it's happening, we say, it makes sense. I was taught this. That's why I'm having a hard time accepting it.
I think it would be big if I could even admit the good that I do.
Yeah. Why don't you try this? Why don't, when you journal each day, you journal most days, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know you're a big journaler. Why don't you start with like just one sentence or two? We don't go into the doo-doo of our day or anything or trauma we're working through or anything. Give your brain a break to just say like, you know, the best work I have right now is owning the new version of me. I'm already showing up as her. So, and that means I must be thinking like her at times. Now I really want to feel like her. What we haven't worked on is like, you know how to think like her. You know how to act like her. We haven't really owned the feeling line yet.
No.
And so now we're going to work on feeling it. So that means we have to tell ourselves each day, here's what's right about me today. Here's what's really good. Here's what I'm grateful for. And I want to sit with that for a minute and I want to allow myself to feel it. And I would give myself 1 minute, no more.
I think, yeah, it's the owning it. And it just made me think too. I started in the morning thinking, when I get up, what can I do today to show myself I love myself? And I realized maybe I need to change that to, what do I need to do to believe?
Yeah, that'd be a great question. What do I need to do to believe? Here's the good about me today. And just list one or two. What do I need to do to believe that today? Or what do
I think that's it, the owning it.
Okay.
Most and knowing that owning it is valid because what I'm trying to own is coming from me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm causing it. It's not that people just randomly went, oh yeah, we'll like this person.
Right. Because there's lots of people that never post in Facebook. And I highly doubt that people are scrolling through trying to find all the people who never post and DM them and say like, hey, you really changed my life.
Yes. Thank you for being so quiet. It made a difference.
Exactly. It made the difference. Okay.
My cat is very interested in you.
Yes. Mine has been dancing around in here all day. Both of them have been just hot footing all day. They're going to like sleep all afternoon. They're usually
mine's been sleeping. He's hungry.
Oh, well, there you go.
And he's not very good with his enough either.
That's funny. All right. You got your marching orders.
Yeah. I don't feel like throwing up anymore.
There you go. That's a big level up right there.
Thank you. And I saw you're doing an in-person VIP thing for the May camp. Are you hopefully going to do that for September?
We're not sure. September, we just got to get the May planned before we get.
I know. I'm just thinking of my hotel plans and everything.
Yeah, we are going to be releasing something soon on that. But it's going to take us about 2 to 3 more weeks. We're in negotiations with the hotel just on based on like what we can do. Our contract's a little different on both sides. So
okay.
it just depends on what's happening. So, but I promise you, there will be There will be some information coming out about that for the September one, but give us a few weeks to finalize that. We have
Okay, I'm excited about both, but especially excited about in person.
Thank you. Andrea? Ooh. I'm itchy. All right. What are we coaching on?
Hello.
Hey.
So I found you and Brooke in 2018 and did all the free stuff for a couple of years and lost 80 pounds. Got pregnant with my second daughter. Yeah, totally good for me. And got pregnant with my second daughter. Then when I started breastfeeding and waking up all throughout the night, I kind of restarted the habit of eating in the middle of the night and kind of binging, put on 65 pounds, joined No BS September 2021, and have lost 17 pounds since then. I would like to lose another 40 to 50. And I have identified a cycle that I kind of just need some help sorting out. And I'm in CCP now. I'm actually prepping for my certification call and I'm super excited. But so I got coached there on time. And I was like, I keep finding myself staying up till midnight, working on all the personal things that I'm interested in that I can't work on during the day because I'm working in my business and I'm with my kids and I'm making dinner and cleaning the house and all that stuff. So I put the kids to bed, spend time with the husband, clean the kitchen. And then I'm like, oh, now it's time for all my stuff. And about 10:30 rolls around and I have a little timer that goes off at 9:45 that says wrap it up and start your bedtime routine. And I always see that. I'm like, yeah, that's definitely what I want to do, but I just want to get like three more things done. And so
you don't want to do it. Like, let's tell the truth.
But I do want to be, I want to do the things. Like, it's like planting my garden, doing things that have like a deadline. But what I think is happening is it's an urge. It's an urge to stay up late to get those things done. And so then I'm tired the next day. I end up eating because now I'm hungry and it's midnight, right? And while I'm hungry, I know. And I wouldn't be hungry if I wasn't still awake. So it kind of feels like
you wouldn't be hungry if you'd quit. This is the thing. Hunger is not the problem here.
Okay. Tell me.
Here's what I would decide. You have two choices. You can actually go to bed and sit with the urge. Well, you could sit with the disappointment that you're not going to get these other things done.
Yep.
So right now we're choosing to stay up to scratch the urge to get things done because that's what we really want. Don't tell yourself you really want to be going to bed when what you really want to be doing is finishing all those things.
I kind of want both, but yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Well, I mean, you can, all right, that's fair. So at least say,
I know I'm choosing. Yeah.
I really want this one. Just say, you know what? I want both. I want to be someone who goes to bed, but I also want to be someone who finishes all these things.
Right.
So now what I have to do is I have to figure out the consequences of both.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am going to be someone who actually goes to bed, I have to get better at finishing those things in other areas of my life. Other times. So maybe I have to become a better planner. Maybe I have to do other, like maybe I have to say no to other things because if these things are that important, maybe there's other things I'm going to have to like table and shelf.
Yeah. Like which I feel like I've already done. Do you know what I mean? Like half the time the dishes aren't done
Okay. Go ahead. So the other option is this is really the only time I actually have. I have looked at my calendar. If Corinne pulled up my calendar right now, she would see during the day blocks,
it's like time blocked,
completely filled. Like,
yeah,
she'd be like, fuck, girl, there is no more time.
Like, you're really rocking your calendar, and I'm honoring my calendar. Like, I'm proud of how I'm showing up with my calendar. I'm like, how do I maybe? And here's the piece that I hadn't said yet. I feel really uncomfortable going to bed. Like, let's just say it's midnight. And I'm like, oh shoot, I got to go to bed. If I've got hunger, like legit hunger, I'm a little bit nervous to go to bed hungry because I don't want to wake up in the middle of the night. and
bed. You're already up in the middle of the night. What the fuck is the
I
problem?
Know. Like, I know. So what do I tell myself in that moment? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, what
this is
can
what
I
I would
do
tell
to
my, you want to know
interrupt
what
it?
I would tell myself?
For sure.
I'd be like, Corinne, you are not about to die. I would say, like, girl, look at your thighs. If you stay up to get shit done, you do not get to eat.
Okay.
Because you will
Oh, I
survive.
like that.
Because if you were asleep, you'd still be hungry in the middle of the night. You just sleep through
Right. Until my kid wakes up, my 2.5-year-old, and you know, it's 3 a.m. and I'm like, oh, now I'm hungry, you know? And it's
and
like,
you get to say, and I'm not going to eat. You're acting like hunger is a bad thing or hunger's your problem. You know what your problem is?
Eating when.
No, your problem is you think hunger's a bad thing.
Yeah, only at night though. Like in the daytime,
But
I'm like,
it's not. Right? Like literally tell, all right, this is a great thing. I can't wait to hear this explanation. Why
let's
is
talk about
hunger
it.
in the middle of the night bad, but hunger during the day is like, oh, we got things to do. Like, this is not an emergency. I have an amazing attitude about hunger during the day. Why at night are you allowing yourself to have a shitty attitude about hunger?
Yeah, I don't think it feels shitty attitude to me. And I maybe that's why it's not so obvious to me, because it doesn't feel like a shitty attitude until you just said that. So I can definitely kind of poke holes in
So
that
when
when I
we
hear it.
say hunger's bad at night, you don't think that's a shitty attitude.
I never really considered it a shitty attitude. I didn't think it
What do
was
you
bad
think
at night.
is?
I just thought to myself
Well,
that,
you said
like,
it, and I
oh,
didn't.
if I go to bed hungry, I will, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll binge again. And I don't want to trigger that habit that I've been really working on kind of reversing. Does that make sense?
Yes. So
It's almost like I'm scared of it, but I didn't realize that
that's
until
not
this
a
moment.
shitty attitude.
I didn't think about it like that until you said it, right? So
That's the nice
now I
thing about
hear
me
it.
poking around at you. It's like all of a
No, I
sudden,
love it.
oh
That's
my
why I
God.
came on, girl. I have been wanting to
So
coach by you for a
this
long
is
time.
really
So
more of an action thing. Okay. There's no happy thoughts coming.
yeah.
All right. We've
Yeah,
got
I'm
to
cool with that.
decide, do you want to get your stuff done and stay up later and overcome eating at night?
Yes.
Or do you want to be someone who goes to bed early so they can sleep through all of that and probably have to reevaluate your daytime schedule and see if there's anything that you're saying yes to that you're going to have to be like, you know what? I may have to hire someone to
Yeah.
come and watch these kids like
Totally.
2 hours, a couple of days a week so I can get this shit done.
Yeah, I feel like both is something I want to work on. And I feel like if I was not eating, then I would actually go to bed earlier. Because, of course, like I'm eating, and that makes the thing that I'm doing at that exact time take longer. I'm overeating because I'm distracted and tired. So I think that's the first one I want to address. And when I can just like be like, we're just not going to do this. Like, hunger is not an emergency, just like it's not in the middle of the day. That's the one I think I want to focus on. Like, if I was just going to pick one to focus on this month, that would be it. Because that's going to move the needle of weight loss.
Then that's the one I would go with. That's the one that you feel most in line aligned with. And you feel like that's the one that's going to help you the most all the way around, not just in your weight loss, but in all of it. That's the one I
Yeah,
would.
because when I was losing 80 pounds, I wasn't doing this. I didn't have as much on my plate. And I like the stuff on my plate. I've said hell yes to all of it, and I've said no to shit tons of other things. So it's just like, this is just one of those seasons, and I'm okay with that. I just don't want to be eating also.
And you just have to untrain yourself. Cause like I can stay up really late and not eat, but have urges.
Okay, so it really is just,
Yeah,
it's the same stuff. It's just an urge.
you just have an urge. You might not even be as hungry as you
Even
think.
though it's real hunger.
I don't know. That's one of the things I would even question. Is this real hunger? Because if it was real hunger, why is it when I go to bed, I'm not waking up hungry?
Yeah, well, I'm definitely waking up hungry in the morning. And if I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm certainly hungry.
But is
But it's
it
like,
real
oh,
hunger? This is
yeah.
the thing. Just because like your stomach might be growling stuff, I want you to really think about this. If you had
Okay.
dinner and it is natural for the body to go, you know, the average body It's natural for it to go 12 hours a day without food.
Okay, I'm eating dinner at 5:30. It's for sure hunger, but it's not an emergency. I'm just like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I have this on my plan. Like, okay, that's what I'll do, you know? But I'm like, it's like a fourth meal that I don't, that my, if I didn't have, my body would be losing weight. It's the only thing.
So it's a fourth meal your body doesn't need.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes. So we want to make sure we say that to ourselves.
This okay, that's a good
that
one.
I'm eating, my body doesn't need. Even if it's sending up a hunger cue, it's only doing it because I'm awake. It's not because it needs it. It's just right. Because I've fed it when I've been awake in the middle of the night. And when I'm working, my body thinks I must going to want to need energy. So it's going to ask for food. So if I don't eat, that's okay.
Okay.
Because literally for all of you, it is normal for the body to go 12 hours a day without food. Most humans for all of society have ate dinner at sundown and not ate again until sunrise. That is okay. Human evolution.
Of course.
Farmers used to do that. Like I remember my grandmother. They had a family farm of nine.
Yeah.
They didn't have electricity in their house.
Yeah.
And so,
they're like waking up with the sun.
And they would eat because they could see. And then at night, they always ate dinner before the sun went down so they could see.
Right.
They didn't eat throughout the night. Even if they were awake, if they were sitting by the fire and stuff, you did not go to the kitchen and scrounge around because you were bored. You didn't have that shit.
Yeah.
But now we're just like, oh my God, like I'm doing self-development in my things and it's midnight. Like I should eat. Like this is like real hunger. It's like, it's probably not as real as you think. It feels real, but is it needed?
All right. And so then when my brain says to me, when I ask it that and it says, like, I want to hear what you would say to your brain. It says, yes, it's real hunger. And if you don't eat, you're just going to be so hungry in the middle of the night, you're going to wake up and binge like you used to.
Then I would tell myself, let's see. I'm going to go to bed.
Let's just find out.
Yeah, because right now I'm binging ahead of time.
Yeah, right? That's it. You just nailed it. Oh, you just nailed it. You just nailed it.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm doing. Okay. Thank
you. Just say that. I think that'll land with you. It's like, I'm just not going to binge ahead of time. Let's see.
Oh
what
my goodness.
If I wake up.
Yeah, let's just see.
And I will deal with, like, if I wake up and I, for some reason, want to binge and stuff, then I will deal with that version then. For now, let's just see. Okay.
Love that. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you for bringing this. This is the second binge call I've got to coach today. I feel
I know. I know. Awesome. Yeah, I watched your last call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And congratulations on coach certification. That's awesome.
I'm so excited. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's see. What time? Yeah, we'll get one more. Lisa Mack. I may actually, since Keisha, since yours is up, if I have time, I'll try to grab you. We'll just go a little long. I got another call starting at 2 anyway. I don't need a break. If I take a break, I'm likely. In fact, I've got my energy drink to go work out sitting right here. It's gonna take a little something something for mama to get those weights in today. All right.
I accidentally left and before you could kick me out. So you can put me back now.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear the rest of the call.
You're fine. All right, Lisa, what are we doing?
Well, first of all these legacy bitches that I named them have all resonated with me today. We're going to get jackets. Just so you know what's been going on in the chat. So this feels awfully superficial after some of the coaching I've heard today. I've lost 100 pounds and I have about 15 more to go. And I've kind of hit my why. My why was better mobility, pain management, better health.
Okay.
I have those.
Okay.
I still have about 15 more pounds I want to lose. And
why?
I don't know. That's I don't know how to figure that out.
Because if you don't have a good reason why, maybe we need to question if you need to lose 15 pounds at all.
Well, I think I, so the biggest thing is, I mean, I'm 5'5", I'm still in the 170s. I mean, that's,
but that means
I could
nothing.
Have, I could even still have better health, right? So,
no, like you losing 15 more pounds may not improve your health one fucking ounce.
Well, that's true.
There's a lot of research out there nowadays that where those weight ranges that we've always been told by like a 5'3" European white man was the standard for all of us. Right. It's like not exactly accurate, you know, from 1800s.
Right.
So much of what we believe about this stuff was literally designed way back in the day. And it's like, oh my God, this information is over 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you imagine if we still treated cancer the way we did 100 years ago and be like, well, I know we got all this new research, but one dude in 1900 said for stomach cancer, we should do this.
No, that wouldn't be good. No.
Yeah, no, he'd never do it. So this is what we got to figure out. This is really good for a lot of you to be thinking about. Sometimes we've not questioned why we want to lose that last bit. Like we get to a place where we're actually happy. We like life. We're like all the things. And very often, like even for me, like I had to reevaluate my whys all the way down because as I would like lose a chunk of weight, I would solve some of my whys. So like one of my first initial ones was to be able to like just break the obesity cycle with Logan. I just didn't want him. I didn't want to be a fast food mother like my mother, like all the things. Well, after about 50 pounds, I was eating better than I ever had in my life. I'd solve that. I was modeling what I needed for my child. Then it was all about being like, I want to be like athletic and fit. Well, after when I got to about 175, I was killing it. I did my first half marathon. Like there was all these things. I was already athletic. So to keep going, I had to have a new reason. So we need to figure out what your new reason is. And we got to decide, right now, the one reason you have is, well, I think it would make me healthier. I think I'm still too big for my size, basically.
I do.
Okay. We want to make sure that's accurate first. Maybe.
Well, I know I have a lot of skin that's probably never going to go back the way I'm 60 years old. You know, it's probably going to be there. So that's going to be what it is. And I'm working on the acceptance of that. But I'm also like just right under that obesity range.
Okay.
Kind of like a little more buffer. I'm okay with being overweight. I don't need to be average. I'm okay with that.
All right. So
maybe that's more what it is.
Strong enough reason though. Like this is what you have to think about. Is it a strong enough reason for me to lose 15 pounds so that I'm go from here to here? So I have buffer room between a category on the BMI scale that's not accurate. It may be for you. If it is really important, then we got it. But if it's not, like, this is why it's really important to question these reasons why we tell ourselves, because sometimes we even have, like, we have reasons that we think should work, but they don't. We have reasons that we haven't questioned that we don't even agree with. We have some reasons that are like, yep, this is exactly the way I want to be. I mean, literally, if it's like, if the BMI means a lot to you, it would be a strong, good reason for you. If the BMI doesn't, and it's just one of those things, then we got to find something that's meaningful. Or if we can't find a good reason, we need to start learning how to stop dieting. And so like, I'm here. Like, what would it take for, because you have two options. You can lose 15 pounds and love your reason and all the other things. Or you can say like, I think I'm actually done. And now the work begins on feeling safe here. And what does unconditional acceptance look like? And what does me being 170 when an insurance chart from the early 1900s says I should weigh this? Like, then we want to start questioning all that so that you can really be there and love it. So what's coming up for you?
I don't trust myself to stay here.
Okay, that's why you're having a hard time pulling the trigger. Because if losing that last 15 was going to be compelling and exciting, you'd have no problem. But when you're trying to do it, because it's like, I don't trust you. That'd be like being in a marriage and wondering, like, I don't know why we don't have a raging sex life when every day I tell my husband, guess what? Like, we're going to try to have a great sex life, but I'm never going to be horny because I don't trust your ass. Why do you not trust yourself? Like, what is it that you're going to do?
It's before no BS. I've lost 100 pounds twice before and I didn't keep it off. And I know this time is different. My accountability group keeps telling me that.
Tell me why this time is different though, in your own words, not their words.
Because I'm eating normal food. I'm not trying to do Atkins or some shakes and bars shit. I've eaten normal food the whole time.
Okay.
I know it's different.
Why else is it different this time from other times for you?
Hasn't felt like such a struggle.
Okay.
So hasn't felt like a big fight the whole time.
What is different about you? Let's say, I want you to really check in with yourself. Like just this version of you, not the fear side of you. And I want you to think about, how would you know if you were somehow at risk for gaining weight?
Well, my data would tell me I was eating too much every day, and the scale would start showing me I was gaining weight.
Okay. And what would happen in those moments?
I'd freak out probably. Okay. You know what? I gained some weight between like a little bit before Thanksgiving and mid-January. And a couple weeks ago, it was like, all right, I'm kind of getting back in the driver's seat. And this past week has been fantastic for me. But the week before even was, so I've lost almost all that weight that I gained.
Okay.
I do. Yeah.
All right. But this is,
I still don't trust that I'll keep doing it, I guess.
Right.
I guess
that is because, and I think we kind of figured out why. Like, there's a few things. Is you have to, in order to trust yourself, you have to tell yourself why you're trustworthy. Like, you're really focused on just, but I don't trust myself, but I don't trust myself. And I would almost bet that every time you think that, you come up with reasons why, like, well, you know, in the past, and you know, in the past, and you know, the other times you lost weight, and you've been busily collecting evidence for your untrustworthiness. And what I did on this call was collect some evidence of why you are trustworthy, why this time is different. But there's one problem in the room, and most of us always have this when we have lost weight. My son's grandmother is here. I didn't know she was coming today. hang on. I got to go answer the door. Sorry. Sorry about that. So thought that's in the room that I think that we got to address is, if my numbers go back up, I'm just going to freak out. That's why you don't believe that you can do it. This is why you don't believe you can trust yourself, because you've given yourself one option if the scale goes up or if something happens. Freak out. What we need to do is there is comfort in peace in knowing, like, if I notice these things happening, here's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. If I see myself going more than 2 to 3 days without making a plan, it's time to figure out what's going on with me, because that's not like me. Like, I want you to think about, like, what are all the things, because I'm going to tell all of you, as someone who has maintained their weight all these years, and I have been up and down throughout my range, and I've had to really, really, really befriend weight gain. And hear me when I say this, I've had to befriend weight gain. Because what I don't want to do is, as I'm going up, catastrophize it and allow it to be so scary that I run from it, that I'm trying not to see it. And the easiest way for me to not see things is to eat and drink. Mm-hmm. And so I've really figured out, all right, when my weight gets into this range, here's the things that I do. I kick back in these habits, because some, like in the sun, like especially in the summers, because I always end up gaining about 5 to 10 pounds over the summer, because we're just in Vegas from April to October, and we're either in Vegas, Florida, or Nashville, and we're almost always on a big trip drinking, or we are at a beach somewhere with my family where we're just drinking. A lot of drinking that happens in my family, and we do eat. And I'm okay with that because I've befriended weight gain, and I have triggers and things in place where I've taught myself, if I notice I'm no longer planning for my trips in Vegas, I plan the next one. If I notice I go on one trip to Vegas and I don't plan my drinks and I don't think through what I'm going to do, then I immediately make the plan for the next time we go. If I notice that I'm going to my sports bar and say we normally go, you know, one, like we go right now, we're only going once a week. I just can't stand getting out in the cold. I'm going twice this week. You know, I own the place. You think I would go more often. But if I notice we're going 2 and 3 times a week and 2 or 3 times I'm eating whatever I want, then I talk to Chris and I say, like, all right, here's what I'm going to order for the next few trips. I'm done ordering nachos. I'm going to be ordering these things, or we're not going to go at all.
So you kind of have a protocol.
Yeah. I just, like, I have protocols, but I have protective measures. And because I know I've already written all that out and I, like, know what I'm going to do, and I tell myself over and over again, it's like, you don't need to freak out if the scale's going up. You don't need to freak out if you're not planning. You've already planned what you'll do when this happens. What that does is it teaches my brain that that could happen and it's okay. We can trust. We know what to do. Right now, you're just like, I either have to be here,
yeah,
or if I'm going up late, all hell's broke loose. I don't trust me. And that bitch has no plans. And her plan A, run through the house with my hair on fire screaming. Put my hair out in a vat of ice cream. Like, that's no plan.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I should join maintenance group.
I would join the maintenance group for real. I mean, you're almost there. The maintenance group is really for those people that are like on that last 20 pounds, or they're just trying, because there's not much difference between losing the last 20 and maintaining. There's hardly any difference. You're already needing to work on the identity shift. You're already needing to work on like just like, now this is just how I live. This is not like, because even though I don't teach y'all how to diet like traditional diets do, there is something that happens in our brain where it's like, oh, the end is near. And then our brain starts thinking, oh, this is over. And our brain's like, okay, what's happened in the past when it's been over? Well, I've gone back to eating and I've gone back to doing these things because I did diets that I hoped would end, that there would be a day I didn't have to do this anymore. I'm going to lose my weight and then I'm going to figure out how to eat healthy at the end. It's like, no, none of us ever do that. So that's why I want to teach y'all how to eat. But I think you've already got all that, but you have to teach yourself, hey, we've already done it different. We need to assume this new identity. So you just need to decide, like, if I was you, I wouldn't try to lose weight for at least 30 to 60 days. I would give myself more work on trusting yourself, believing this is who you are, doing all the things that we've talked about, And then I want you to reevaluate from a place where it's like, I really do believe that I'm meant to live this way for the rest of my life. Then you can decide, do I want to lose those 15 pounds? Because right now you're saying, I want to lose 15 pounds and get low so that if I gain weight, I won't be too high. That's, there's no fun in that. And there's you're not going to look forward to losing that 15 pounds, especially if that 15 pounds is there just a buffer against if you regain some weight. So take a break. So what is taking a break from actively trying to lose 15 pounds look like for you?
I have no idea.
Give me a couple ideas. Recruiting.
Well, pretty much keep doing what I've been doing. I haven't been losing weight very quickly. You know, I've been kind of up and down those same couple pounds.
Yeah. For, so you already like, know how to maintain this weight. Do you like the way you're maintaining it though?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you like the way you're maintaining. Now, if you are maintaining it from eating like a jackass for a day or two and then having to like get real clean for a few days, that I would say like, all right, maybe that's not what we want to be doing. But if you're maintaining, because, you know, like I go out to eat and, you know, I know the scale will go up a couple pounds and I just kind of come back home and I eat the foods that I like that are, that I know are nutritious for me and everything. That's an easy way to do it.
Yeah. No, I haven't been doing the, I ate all this, so now I need to restrict. No, okay. I haven't been doing, I mean, have I had days when I've eaten a little? Yeah. But then I just go, okay, well, that was one day, you know, just kind of like the program teaches, right?
Well, and that's what maintenance looks like. I'm the same way. Like there's days where I'm like, oh, you know, had a little too much there. And then the next day I'm just like, hey, you know, just back to normal, doing my thing. Paying attention. Am I done with this salad? Yeah, I think I'm done. I'm not going to eat the whole thing.
Right.
Because it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's not super exciting. It's also not draining. It's just kind of boring. It's just like, this is what we do, you know? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess maintenance it is.
All right. Let's try that.
Thanks, Corinne.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. Keisha, let's just go ahead and grab you. It'll be fine. Let's go long. Who cares? The replay people probably care. I don't care. They can always put me on 2x speed. If you never do that, you should try it because I talk awful slow. It's just fine. All right.
You sure you're good? I don't want to keep you.
No, okay. I'm good. I got another call right after this, so.
Okay. So I've been a member since 2020. And I had made a lot of progress with my emotional eating, late night snacking, that kind of thing. But this summer just shot everything to hell. My dad had a stroke. Our business was struggling because he is the business owner and my family kind of had to move through that. But I was in the hospital, 3 hospitals with him for 6 weeks. Then, 2 days before he was coming home for home care, my partner of 15 years went in to the emergency room, had a heart procedure, and then was rushed to New York City on life support.
Oh, gosh.
So he died 4 weeks later.
Oh, my word.
And I was good. I didn't eat through it. In fact, I didn't eat much at all. So I lost 10 pounds. And I thought, wow, I am doing really well. I am not eating over this. I am not coming home at 11 o'clock at night and eating ice cream, and I was doing good. My clothes fit great. but after the funeral stuff, I'm like, wow, now what? I don't know what to do. I haven't written a plan. I don't even know how to pay my bills. I know how to pay bills. It's just the fog of everything.
Yes, I understand.
And I realized that about a month ago that I gained those 10 pounds back.
I want you to think about something. You equated, I was grieving and in the throes, and that dampened my hunger. That meant I was good.
I don't know if I meant good. I think I meant in control of it. Like, okay, I don't
you were
need
actually
this.
in control of it. And I think this is important for you to distinguish.
Yeah.
Because if you create a relationship with that 10-pound loss, that it really requires something very traumatic or big or whatever, you're going to be looking for the next thing. You're going to be thinking you need that to feel the control. I would just not give it so much credit. I think I would just say, like, you know what? It makes sense that I would have lost weight. I probably was so busy and so consumed with everything that was going on. Like, all my hunger signals were probably dysregulated.
No, I knew I was hungry. I knew I was hungry. And I'm like, you know what? I've gone this long before. I don't need to eat. There are other things that need my attention. And it was fine.
Okay.
I was, that's what I mean by good. Not that I was being bad or good. It was, I was in control of it. I understood what was happening. I'll have the nuts in my purse and then I will go home.
Okay.
So
but I would also say that, like, you also had a lot going on emotionally, which could have made, like, for some people makes it really clear. Like, it just almost takes, it's almost like this stuff is real. All this food drama I've been having doesn't seem as important now.
Yeah.
Now that we're past all of that, now we're kind of back to where we were before. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Welcome back, food drama. Where you been?
But I still feel like, wow, that is so unimportant. But my health is very important because I'm the one who's left. And I do want to take care of that, knowing how things played out for others. So I don't want to be that way. I don't want to sit on the couch at 11 o'clock and eat a bag of potato chips.
Okay.
But I'm in such a fog. Like, I don't even know. Some days I don't even know what I'm doing.
And what is a fog? Like, what is a fog in terms of losing weight mean to you? Like, let's just narrow it down. Like, cause like you're saying, some days I'm in a fog. I don't even know what I'm doing, that kind of thing.
Well, it's not just food. It's a lot of things.
Exactly. So I want to, like, narrow it down to, what does it look like being in a fog? Only when it comes to taking care of your, like, just your food needs, whether that's for weight loss, health, whatever it is. What does being in a fog mean?
That I don't plan. I don't plan ahead. Like, I know I should have, you know, after somebody dies, people bring you food. There was like 2 months that I did not plan. I didn't cook. I didn't have to. Because there was food. I'm like, uh-oh, now we're back to real life. And I got to do this again. So
okay,
I guess I'm trying to reintroduce myself.
Yeah, what does it mean to you to be like, all right, we're back to real life? What does that mean you need to be doing now?
Taking care of my physical needs.
And what does that mean to you? Like, what if I had to, like, I'd paint me the picture.
Shopping, cooking, sleeping. Drinking water, those things that I stopped doing.
Okay. Do you feel like you're prepared? Like, of those things, which ones are the easiest ones to start doing that won't feel like an emotional load when you're in a fog?
Cooking.
Cooking.
Believe it or not, cooking. Yes.
Say what?
Cooking.
Okay.
Because that is my comfort zone.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Because if that's going to bring, it's kind of like the call I did the past call before this one. Like, we want to be thinking, like, what do you think it is that you're seeking the most right now? Like, if you had to sum it up in a feeling, like, what do you most want to be feeling these days now that you're coming out of all this?
Control.
Control over your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everything that's happened put me in a state of being out of control.
Okay. So that's legit. So what we want to do is, like, that makes sense why cooking might be one of the first things you want to do, because cooking for yourself probably gives you the most control.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it going to take for us to just start that back up?
I am doing it. Once or twice a week, but I'm also doing cakes and pastries because it feels good to do it.
What does that mean? It feels good. Like, are you baking?
The whole process. I'm baking everything.
Why is that a problem? I think that's lovely. I don't understand why that's a problem.
Well, it feels good emotionally, but it doesn't feel good in my body. Because when I make those things, I eat them And I should not be eating those things because
why should you not be eating them?
Bloating, constipation, itchy skin, just
can
not
you
good.
Eat just a little.
Yes, I could, hypothetically speaking.
What's that?
Hypothetically speaking. In theory, I could eat just a little and be okay once or twice a week.
This is what I want to tell you. You've got to change your story about cookies and things.
Mm-hmm.
You've got an error thought big time running through your head. The problem is not cookies and cakes or whatever it is you said. What did you say you were making? Cakes and what?
Yeah, pastries, whatever, pasta.
Pastries, let's say pastries and cookies. They're not a problem unless you're eating them in excess. You just told me that if you're like, well, theoretically, if I just ate them, like I could enjoy cooking them and stuff. And if I just ate them once or twice a week and allowed myself to have them, I don't have all of that problem. I don't have bloating and itchiness and stuff until I eat them like an asshole.
Yeah.
When I do that, I got problems, which is every single person. If my husband ate cookies and pastries every night like an asshole, he would have problems too. So this isn't everything for you because you're looking for control and you probably want to feel normal for a little bit and you want to do things that you enjoy. So that means you've got to say and cookies and pastries are going to get cooked and I'll freeze some because I deserve to be able to eat them in control. That's the one thing I want the most. What better way for me to feel in control of my life is to show myself, not only can I cook cookies, but then I can freeze some or I can donate some. Cook some and say three for me, the rest for this homeless shelter, the rest for this woman's shelter, the rest for a hospice facility. There's so many ways that you could be doing this. That would probably feel quite lovely, but if you're sitting there thinking I shouldn't have them, they do this, they do that, I don't want you going to where you're trying to restrict them because that will not feel like control at all. Restriction does not feel the same as in control. Restriction just feels bad.
Right.
So now what are you thinking?
Did I overeat everything lately?
Why do you think that is?
A lack of focus. My mind wanders. I want to be completely occupied because if I only do one thing at a time, then I start to think about the uncertainty of the future. So I have the TV on, I have my phone on, I'm eating, I'm journaling all at the same time. And I know there's no focusing there at all. It's just distraction. And the distraction makes me
distraction
from doubling.
What are you distracting from? Say it again.
The pain.
Okay. This is what I want you to really hear. There is nothing wrong with having the TV going and your phone. You would literally just describe how I do my mornings. And I'm a pretty fucking successful person. My brain needs a lot to keep it going.
Yeah.
So the problem is I just want you to hear. Problem really isn't I'm doing this wrong. I lack focus. The problem is I'm in pain. I'm grieving. You already know, honestly, you know how to take care of yourself. You know how to do all this stuff. What's really blocking it is being in pain. And it hurts. And eating's always going to feel better. And I'm going to tell you, there's no shame that this has been the best way you've known how to take care of yourself. You had an overwhelming amount of shit hit you at once. Here's my opinion. This is why I kind of jumped on the whole, I was being good. in the throes of a traumatic event. And the way that we defined we were being good was because we weren't overeating. I don't think that any way we handle those moments is good or bad. We do what we do to survive. And I just want you to really hold space that you did what you could do to survive. And that looks very different at times. For some of that, it was not eating. For some of it, it's been eating because you're trying to survive the pain. But now that you know that that's really all that's going on is that I am in emotional pain. I'm sure you miss these people. You seem like you do. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe they were assholes. I have no clue.
No. Yeah, definitely. No, my dad is much better.
Okay. So your dad's better. And then, but you lost your partner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
we were together 15 years. He's been gone 5 months. So 5 months is not that long.
That you're in pain over that. And you're also what most of, like, whenever we lose someone suddenly, we also are faced with our own mortality. I haven't lost my partner, but in the last year, I've had several people my age die, some of which I was very close to, some of which were just like friends from high school back in the day that I hadn't talked to in, you know, 30 years. But I'm like, holy shit. Like, it has almost took me down. Like, not only do I worry about my mortality, but I look at my husband and I think, you know, forever I thought we would grow old together. And now I'm questioning, like, are we going to grow old together? What happens if he dies? Like, do I know enough? Like, my brain spirals and goes into panic about, can I take care of me? Can I take care of Logan? Can I run this business? Like, you know, can I survive? And when our brains start questioning, can we survive? That can be a very uncertain, scary, painful place to be. So I'm going to say all this. Here's a few things I would do. Number one, you should be using Ask. If you don't have one of our coaches, you should be using Ask Coaches like it's your best friend. Okay. You need to go in there at least every few days. You need to talk to them about your grief, about what's going, like what's scary for you and what's going on. Because if you're really wanting to feel in control of your life, there are things we can do, but I don't think you emotionally feel in control. Whether you're cooking or you're planning your food, whether you eat when you're hungry and stuff like that, like, you know intellectually how to do all of that. But I think right now you feel out of control in terms of, I don't know what the future's like for me. And we need to identify, but you've got to call out, this is what the future, I'm just going to say, this is what my future looks like. I could be wrong, but I'm just going to operate as if this is what it's going to be like. What did you want to say?
I don't remember now.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's, yes, like you said, I intellectually know all those things. And then there could be anything. I'll find a pair of shoes laying around. I'm like, woof, done. It's done. No control. Just sobbing all day. It's just it's the most shocking thing to my system ever.
So let me ask you this. How do you know that's not you being in control? Like, your body's way of starting to be in control of how you want to feel about this. Like, what do you think's supposed to happen? Let's say if you stumble upon the shoes and now you're just crying all day. Like, what did you think was going to happen when you saw the shoes? Or think you should happen?
I've learned that everyone's grief journey is different. And the people that I have in my family who have lost their husbands, older people, have just miraculously gotten rid of all this stuff like within weeks. I don't know how people are doing that, but that's not how it works for me. So I don't know what to expect. Is that, I assumed, okay, if all my family members did this, well, wouldn't that be my experience? No.
I want you to think about this. You do know, you have a definition of what is what your grief should look like. Otherwise, you wouldn't say, I see the shoes and I just lose control and I shut down and cry all day. You say that as if that's a bad thing or a surprising thing or whatever. And like, because my thought is like, well, hell yeah. Like, yeah. That's probably what I would have done. I mean, I like just put me under the bed. I can't even get in the covers. I just need to be under the bed.
I mean, now I expect it. 3 months ago, I didn't expect those reactions.
Okay. So, but let's go with forward now, because right now you want to feel in control. So if you want to feel in control, then in the moments when you're triggered and you cry and it comes unexpectedly, we want to feel in control in those moments. In control doesn't mean we don't cry or we act a certain way. To feel in control, we have to tell ourselves, like, this is normal. People get upset at the littlest things when they're grieving. This is part of the process. And then we feel in control.
Right. There's nothing wrong with the way I'm responding. It's normal.
Yeah. I'm going to tell everybody right now, Chris, like, if my husband dies, like, knock on wood, this doesn't happen, but let's say in the next year something happened, you're all going to witness it. It is going to be a real shit show. And I'm going to be there for all of it. I'm going to hate it. There's going to be a thousand things that happen. But I know one thing that won't happen. I will not tell myself that I'm grieving wrong. If I am needing to literally be under the bed for days, I refuse to tell myself I'm doing this wrong. I am going to say, this is what happens. One thing, I have a friend who has a podcast. It's called the Widowed Moms Podcast. Her name's Krista St. Germain. Why don't you look it up and start listening to her podcast? She lost her husband suddenly in a car accident. He was changing a tire and somebody ran him over on the road while she was standing there. Like, just a horrible accident. And she was in her 30s. And so she's a grief specialist. Her podcast is not just about mothers, but that's just her name. She just talks about grief. And one of the things that I love about Krista is she talks about grief in terms of it does not look the same for everyone. Like, for me, when my grandparents died, it was not hard to get rid of all their stuff. For me, it was actually, it felt better. Because I was narrowing it down to the few things I really wanted. I did not want to see all of their stuff. If Chris was to pass, I probably would have a hard time getting rid of anything.
Yeah.
And my grief, like yours, would just look different depending on the person or depending on how old I am or where I'm at in life or my emotional, you know, like bandwidth at the moment. So if you don't walk away from anything here, I know we were going to talk about what I think we were talking about weight loss. I don't even know how we got started, but you're not doing it wrong. And I think if you, oh my God, I'm late for my other call.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I'm 4 minutes over. I do have to go, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No, you're not doing it wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I gotta go. Sorry. I took my glasses off.